Here we are.
You can't open it.
Why don't you tell the listeners what you can't open?
I'm trying to open some strawberry candy Pez to put in my Stormtrooper Pez dispenser.
Where'd you get that dispenser?
I don't want to say.
You ashamed?
Got it from Steve's mother.
Steve's basket, which is supplied by his mother.
Mm. Your mom gives you a lot of food, doesn't she?
She certainly does.
Goes to Franklin's all the time.
I have...
Did I get it right? Franklin's?
No.
Frederick's.
Frazier.
All right, whatever.
Frederick's of Hollywood.
That's right.
She gets her food. I have like 8 pounds of ham still from Christmas.
What are you going to do with it?
Put it on my body.
Yeah?
On my body.
Present it to your first lover of the new year?
Yeah. Like how people do it with sushi, but I'm going to do it with ham.
Wait, ham's already cooked, right? It's just like, you can't have uncooked ham. It's not like raw ham.
Ham
right?
is always already cooked.
Yeah. It's like sauce, right?
Like.
Right? I'm not out of my mind, right?
It's naturally cooked. Like yeah. When it comes off the pig, it's already cooked.
No, come on. No, I know. You know what I'm talking about, though. Like ham. It's like, it's like, hey, let me make you a ham sandwich, but first I have to like grill up this ham for
well,
you.
Well, you don't have to cook lunch meat ever.
All right. Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, Eric.
Happy New Ham, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Happy Old Ham, more like it.
All right, good news. I got all the Pez in my dispenser.
Loaded
it's
up.
It's ready to be dispensed. Let's try the strawberry candy Pez. I might drop one of them in my whiskey and see what happens.
That's gross.
A little Alka-Seltzer. Mmm. Mmm. It's New Year's Day. I want this podcast to be a real party. I want to keep the party going.
I would not.
I'm going to ask that you introduce this episode. Carrie shrugged it. Very good.
Did you hear my laugh just now? It was a radio show laugh.
It was like, he even leaned back on it too. To intro this episode and keep the party alive, bring 2016 and Nobody's Deathmatch in with a bang. I'd like you to start with a club beat. Like I'm talking like do that kind of thing.
So rhythmic.
It wasn't exactly 4/4 or 2/4. You're the musician, I don't know. It was real jazz.
It was jazz, yeah.
Yeah, it was
jazz club beats.
Brubeck over here, yeah. So do that rhythmically.
Okay.
And then I'm going to lay down some, like, cut copy kind of shit.
Okay.
And then when I point at you, then you drop the beat, so then it's just, like, no beat.
Right.
And then when I point at you again, then the beat comes back in. Okay? Right.
Do I turn the beat around? Do you want me to turn it around?
How do you turn a beat around? What are you talking about?
A little Gloria Estefan the joke there.
The beat has a front and the back? I don't know how do you turn it around.
All right. Ready?
All right, you ready? Do the one that I did.
Sleeve.
I want...
You want the jazz one?
Yeah. No. Do it like, you know...
Nobody's death match. Nobody's death match. No.
This ain't your mama's podcast.
Nobody's.
All right, you're done.
It's really hard to do that for a long time.
Yeah, and laugh at the same time.
Yeah.
Episode, insert episode number.
We've been around.
Half a dozen. I don't know what we're at.
Half a dozen.
We're going to be talking about a classic movie from 1998 called Can't Hardly Wait. 1998, Can't Hardly Wait. Starring Ethan Embry. Where is he now? I think he does TV. shows. He's on a TV show, I know.
Oh, good.
Good for him.
I like that
I like his face.
I like his face,
too. I liked his face back then.
Yep. Yeah. Bright-eyed.
Yeah. Good teeth.
Yeah. Good sideburns.
Speaking of good everything, also starring Jennifer Love Hewitt. The crowd goes wild for Jennifer Love Hewitt. They love the Jennifer Love Hewitt. Man.
She's a pretty one.
Exhibit A for intelligent design, right?
She's smart. She has standards. She's kind. She...
I want to get to Jennifer. Like, we'll get to her character, or lack thereof, later.
Oh, lack thereof, huh?
Yeah, seems like we might have some disagreement on the...
of course we do.
Nobody's death metro raisin. Ew.
The old Eric takes the wrong side and Steve takes the right side.
So we got Ethan Embry. We got Jennifer Love Hewitt. We have...
Girlfriend number two.
Seth Green.
Yep.
Seth Green. What are your thoughts on Seth Green, like, regardless of nobody's... regardless of... Just really trying to plug this podcast. Regardless of his performance in Can't Hardly Wait, what is your opinion of Seth Green coming out the gates?
I have general good will towards Seth Green.
Are you a Robot Chicken fan?
I never thought that was like that funny.
I didn't either.
But I
didn't
watched
think Seth
it
Green
a little
was
bit.
Very funny. I've only seen him. I've seen him in this. Obviously, I saw him in Austin Powers.
Right.
I think he's in Without a Paddle, which is a really bad movie that came out.
Yeah.
10 or 8 years ago.
He's in Idle Hands, right?
Oh, yeah. He is in Idle Hands.
With Jessica Alba.
He's okay in Idle Hands.
Yeah.
But it's mainly because Jessica Alba's in Idle Hands.
I think most of my feeling for him comes from Buffy, because I've seen...
Oh, okay.
He had a lot of screen time
across
so many episodes, and so I got to know him.
All right.
So he was pretty nifty.
Hmm. All right. Galbraith. Pro Green.
He was a werewolf, too.
Cuvelier. Take him or leave him.
Mid-green.
Mid-green. We also have Lauren Ambrose. You know who she plays?
Lauren Ambrose.
It's the redhead, Denise.
Oh.
Did you ever watch 6 Feet Under?
No.
Well, that ends that discussion.
The end.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
That's our main cast.
Who else we got in this movie? Is that your total cast list?
For whatever reason, I also wrote Peter Facinelli. That's the guy who plays Mike Dexter, the jock.
Because
I think he's been in some other stuff, which I don't really recognize.
The amount of gay vibes his character gave off was... appalling.
He's giving off... You think Mike Dexter's gay?
Yeah, that's so much repressed homosexuality. Oh. Shameful, repressed homosexuality. Yeah, I mean, he should just...
That's like... I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's how it goes,
That's archetypical of...
Archetypical
jock culture. That's archetypical of jock culture with the...
Right. Jock straps,
gay bashing, and all that kind of stuff, where it's like, I'm not comfortable in my own sexuality.
Right.
I'm not comfortable that I,
Also with politicians and priests.
Yeah. They all go conservative.
You go,
They think by going outside of themselves, they will be able to control themselves.
Wow. Deep.
Yeah.
A young man has a crush on a young girl who is taken by the captain of the football team, and he pines for
her. It's the end of senior year at Can't Hardly Wait High School, and Ethan Embry finds out that Jennifer Love Hewitt, the object of his infection, she has been dumped by her jock boyfriend and gay basher, Mike Dexter, and... he's been in love with her for quite a few years since he first laid eyes on her. And there's a big party for graduation night. He thinks that she might be there. And that's kind of the A story. Like, he wants to
give her the letter.
Yeah, he wants to disclose his feelings for her. And, like, even though she doesn't know that he exists and stuff, he wants to, like, it's his hero's journey. And then... And then there's like kind of like some side B story that doesn't really matter as much. Right?
Right.
Is that, that was the most succinct plot summary I've ever done.
Still not.
Wait, what am I missing?
Totally succinct. You, what is still a tad long-winded. But I'll take it.
All right.
The cheese has done you well. So what do you remember about seeing it when you were younger? Answer now. Answer now.
Mmm.
Mmm, cheese.
Mmm. Can't hardly wait.
Oh, cheese.
Gross. Can't hardly wait. Loved it as an adolescent. I have a, some might call it a character flaw. I call it a character strength. Where? When I'm having like crises of faith or just, you know, coming to a crossroads, I'll watch a movie that I've already seen, but it resonates with me and reflects how I'm feeling at that moment. Mm-hmm. Can't Hardly Wait was one of the first ones that did that, because I had my own Amanda, I had my own Jennifer Love Hewitt, mm-hmm. where I'll give her a name, but I got to protect her identity.
Bushwick.
I'll make the name rhyme with her actual name so you can't figure it out. Diaper. Rhymes with diaper. Did you figure it out?
Yes.
Oh, damn it. Anyways, diaper.
Piper.
Diaper.
Piper.
I said diaper.
Piper.
So we were friends in eighth grade. She had like pixie dream girl haircut and super funny, super smart, athletic, like, you know, across the board, a winner. Mm-hmm. And a winning smile.
Yep.
And we were like, we hung out, immediate best friends. She had a boyfriend.
Yep.
And then, like, my pining just began, and, like, we would talk on the phone, do all that kind of stuff, and I was basically Ethan Embry, just being like, when are you going to break up with this guy?
Yeah.
And
look.
Oh, God. So, anyways, with Diaper, I held Can't Hardly Wait up as, like, kind of my romance Bible of, like, oh, well, if it works out with Ethan Embry, like,
there's hope for you.
There's hope for me. There wasn't hope for me. I had a big fucking shitty ass retainer thing in my mouth.
Right.
I was also raised in an iron lung.
So
I was also born without legs. I wheeled myself around on a skateboard. How could I expect Diaper to fall in love with me? The cards were stacked against me. What did you think of Can't Hardly Wait as a youth?
Can't. Can't right. Hardly.
It's too early for that.
What y'all think of Can't Hardly Wait? I think I only saw it once when I was younger.
Would you have seen it on TV or in the? I don't think I saw it in the theater.
I saw it on like VHS. Maybe we'd rented it night with my friends.
Yeah. Did it leave any kind of impression on you?
Yeah, I only saw it once or twice, but it's very nostalgic for me, and it's in that way that I like long for that, not only that time in my life, but I have this weird extra longing to like be a part of that movie.
Yeah.
For some reason,
I feel like Can't Hardly Wait is the good version of American Pie, where there's like actual humanity involved, even though there's like plenty of flaws that we'll get to. But no, as I was watching it, I was thinking of American Pie and just like how unfunny that movie is. And we're back from the break. Oh, Steve, you had a lot of time to think about your thoughts because you had a lot of bad things that you said. let's see.
Okay. Burning me at the stake.
Let me rehash things. So you said that you watched Can't Hardly Wait just once as a teen. you kind of wanted to have a better experience with, or I don't know, a more resonating experience with it, but you
did not say any of that. No,
I feel like I remember hearing that. I was not projecting. No, you said something like you wish you would have been more of a part of that. You said that.
My nostalgia has a component to where I wish I was in the movie. Yeah.
That's a weird fear of missing out kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, so you didn't actually, you just wanted to be in the movie. It wasn't so much you wanted to watch the movie more times. And
just put me
in
there.
And have it be like your reason for loving Diaper or whatever.
No, I didn't. It's not one of my movies that I go to for comfort or hope.
I don't go to it anymore either, but it never was for you.
Right.
Just the one time.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Case closed.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Every time I think of a court scenario,
yeah,
everyone's always Southern.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Oh, what are you doing?
I don't have a tongue, but I'm a Southern. Oh, God. Creepy. Ugh.
Tongueless bailiff? Is that a character? A new character? Tongueless bailiff?
Can't hardly wait across the board. I feel like it starts out pretty strong, and like the bios
are good.
I like their little yearbook bios. I like how they have pretty good transitions from one to the next, where it'll be like one character says a quote, like, so like one of the nerds is like, they're talking about the party, the nerd is like, do you think people are going to be having sex there? And then it transitions into Seth Green's character Kenny being like, yo, I gotta get some sex tonight.
Yeah.
Let's speak of the race issues in this movie, too.
Good impression.
Was it?
No.
Oh. Let me hear yours. Judgmental Judy.
Yo, I gots to get some sex tonight.
Whoa. Yeah, I have a quote printed out of him. You're gonna do it later. My God, that was good.
Kenny, I'm practicing, is that you? Every day.
Yeah. Were you Kenny in high school? Did you have a Kenny in high school? Because I didn't really have a reference point for Kenny.
I had hundreds of Kennys.
Really?
Yeah. There were a lot of white males pretending to be black males at my school.
Okay.
AKA wiggers. Can we say wiggers on our podcast?
Yeah, you just did. And
I still feel uncomfortable saying that
word. I think it's perfectly fine.
I don't know. It's not based off of something awful.
Well, yeah, it is, but I don't know. So you had a lot at Palmdale High School?
Yeah, thanks for remembering.
Why is that?
Did you have a lot at Los Osos High?
Fuck you, Morobe! I can look at my yearbooks once in a while. Do you find this character funny? Because I did not.
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was supposed to be funny, though. I mean, I feel like he was just put in there just for the redemption aspect of it, or just...
But he isn't redeemed. He's still an asshole at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he wraps back around twice or whatever, but just the fact that in the middle you see his soft spot, or he drops the facade, I thought that's why he was in there.
Okay.
Just to show, oh yeah, people put up this front, and really, when you get him down to it, they just are a fearful little... puddle,
yeah,
as everyone is. Or
they didn't have to do that with like a weird race charge thing.
Well,
now.
Yeah, they didn't.
But it could have just been some like Valley Girl who then stops talking in her Valley Girl accent.
I think they were just trying to hit all the
they're rounding the bases,
all the cliques of the time. And I think that was a clique, even though it wasn't in your specific area.
All right, I'll take that. Match point, Steve Galbraith.
That's a good movie. Let's talk about that.
Star Joe.
What was going on in your life at 21 years old when you saw Match Point? I don't want to talk about that. I'm just kidding. Okay. Hey, you know who cameos in this movie? Someone who's going to explain it all.
Clarissa.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, otherwise known as Sarah Masterson.
How is she Sarah Masterson? They look alike? Or does Sarah explain it a lot?
Most of her life.
Explain it a lot. Clarissa explains it a lot. She gave it a rest, Clarissa!
You were going to say Callista, weren't you?
I was. Because I like Callista Flockhart.
So Masterson never told you that she would get that a lot growing up?
No.
That comparison?
I've seen a picture of her sister. I think her sister looks like Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, her beautiful, beautiful sister. Say whoa.
Stop. Say what? Were you going to baby talk her right there?
Sarah Masterson.
Say what?
I do text her Sarah sometimes. When I need my diaper changed. Sarah Masterson, if you're listening to this, which you won't be because you're a selfish bitch.
Steve's diaper does need to be changed. I can smell it from here.
Indian food. Has Sarah Masterson listened to any of our podcasts?
Oh, she has. Wait.
Oh, right, because it was like hanging out with us.
Yeah, she's the one who, she's the only listener. Yeah, right. No, totally. Sarah, we love you. Thank you for listening.
Sarah,
wish you were here.
Miss
you. See you in Boise in March.
If you were here, I'd be stuffing your fucking face full of treats.
Oh, God. Pez?
Treats.
All right.
Just fucking Danishes for days. Oh, how about when Amanda Beckett enters the party?
I want to talk about Amanda Beckett.
With the wind blowing in her hair.
Yeah.
And the song that plays is by...
Magic Star? I don't know.
No. That kind of close. Sneaker Pimps.
Oh.
Which is like one of the sexiest songs from the... Well, sexiest bands.
Yeah.
Playing 600 Grand.
Can we a little bit right here?
Yeah.
Hey, Steve.
Future Steve.
All right.
Oh, that was good. Nice. Take me
let's talk about
600 Grand.
I want to deconstruct Amanda Beckett right now.
Ugh, I bet you do. You knew I was going to say that. Come on.
So for her little yearbook quote that she has on there, it's a jewel quote. Do you remember what it is?
You were meant for me.
I'd rather,
and I was.
I would love that. Oh man, I want to hear that song now too.
I can play it for you.
Her quote is, "I'd rather see the world from another angle." Do you remember what her major, or her future major, or whatever the fuck the category is?
Future major.
What is it? Future plans. Future major.
No, I don't remember anybody's.
Hers is undecided.
Hmm.
Mm. Smoky hot.
Deep.
I wasn't fully believing that this was a real character or had anything close to depth. I liked the stuff where she was saying, like, after she breaks up with Mike Dexter, or he breaks up with her, whatever, she's talking to her cousin and is
ugh.
Like, I know, that guy was a piece of shit, right?
That guy's such a piece
fucking
of shit.
Fucking God. And she says something to the extent of, like, now that I'm no longer Mike's girlfriend, I don't know what I am. Which I thought was, like, I don't know, I appreciate that, where it's just, like, especially in high school, you're, like if you're in a relationship, you're, like, that's kind of...
Your identity.
Part of your identity, yeah, definitely. It's, like, Bobby and Brenda.
Yep. Two high school names.
Or Bobby and Brett. We're all...
Hey, man. Adam and Steve, Adam and Neve.
You got it.
What were we saying?
I wanted to deconstruct Amanda Beckett because I am of the opinion that she is not deep of a character. She's telling her cousin.
Relative to what, though?
Relative to...
Like, fucking...
Me. Relative to me.
As a
I have
real
way more
human?
Depth. Yeah.
I would hope so.
I should have been in the movie.
I think relative to the other characters in that movie, she has depth.
Okay.
I think the movie makers, what do we call it, a film? Is that the only way to film? The filmmakers.
Do you make the picture? you want to know those picture makers?
Picture makers? I think they were trying for depth. I mean, they didn't do the best job, but that was their aim. She's supposed to have depth.
Hmm. What's that movie? What's that movie that is based in college that made me watch that, like, gave me nightmares? Cruel Intentions? No.
Rules of Attraction.
Rules of Attraction. I feel like those characters had depth.
Yeah, they fucking did. Ugh. They had grit.
Yeah. That scarred me, though.
Listeners, I'm making an official Nobody's Deathmatch TM movie recommendation. Watch Rules of Attraction. Eric can attest to its greatness.
It's going
to
ruin you.
Or that. Yeah. And don't be scared. Don't be put off that James Vanderbeek is in it. It's not one of those movies.
Based on a book written by the same guy who did American Psycho.
There you go.
He's a monster.
Take me down, six underground.
This is the fashion segment of Nobody's Deathmatch, where we discuss the fashion of the movie. Fashion!
That's the same thing you did for the other one.
Fashion! All right. Who was best dressed in Nobody... And Can't Hardly Wait.
Nobody's Deathmatch, obviously.
You're wearing a Henley. I've got a... I have a modest Kohl's. A modest Sonoma zipper hoodie from Kohl's. Paired with tan Levi's. Whew.
I have pajama pants and on.
I believe.
With the dick slot open.
One goes to Eric. Ugh, gross. The dick slot? Is that what you call that?
Button is undone.
You just call it a button fly or something, man. You don't call it a dick slot.
Dick slot. Dick slot. No, dicks.
Do you call your hand like a dick puppet or something? You're just like, what? I don't know. Everything's just an extension of dick? Who is best dressed and Can't Hardly Wait?
Oh, right. Let me think of everybody. Also, I want to know who was most modernly dressed.
Modernly?
Yeah.
Like for our time now or for...
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, interestingly, I think is the nerd.
Oh.
When you think about it.
Yeah, William.
Yeah.
The main dude who, like, does the song and all that kind of
right.
shit, right? Yeah.
Who is best dressed?
Yeah, he's not wearing, like, cargo pants or anything like that. He's just, like, wearing a fucking shirt and pants.
He's, like, dressed like a hipster of today.
Yeah. Well done, William. So who is best dressed?
Not the jock.
Oh, you're saying the nerd. That's your answer.
I think so.
That's fine.
I mean, definitely not Seth Green's character.
Yeah.
The redheaded girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's close.
I know, but it's like...
But it's still a little too 90s
yeah.
cheese for me.
I agree.
Cheese goth.
I don't remember what she's wearing on the bottom. I just remember the leather jacket.
Yeah.
I assume she's wearing like Doc Martens or something.
Yeah, yep.
So I'd probably vote for her or Nerd Boy as best. And then worst is, it's actually not Kenny. It's Ethan Embry's character is the worst.
No.
Yes, it is the worst.
I used to dress like that.
He's wearing a tucked in shirt.
Uh-huh.
Like a ringer shirt, like a T-ball shirt.
God,
or whatever.
I hate those ringer
They're
shirts.
Really bad.
I had so many of them.
He's wearing that, but with like, I think like almost like a Hawaiian print kind of shirt over it.
Yeah.
So ringer shirt tucked in, Hawaiian shirt
Do you have
over,
cargo pants
but
too?
Unbuttoned, and cargo pants.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, he's wearing like a red velvety coat.
It's a little better.
Paired with like a, I don't know, like a diamond blue shirt or something. A cleaner.
You really think that's worse than Kenny, though?
Yeah, I do. Kenny's bad, but like, I don't know. It's congruent. Like everything goes together.
<It's congruent. laughs> First time we've used that word on the podcast.
We haven't really talked about Ethan Embry's character Preston that much. What do you think of Preston?
What?
Preston. What do you think of Preston?
That's
Ethan
Embry's
character. Do you?
I have complicated emotions about Ethan Embry's character. Like, I almost see myself in him
mm-hmm.
because he's so delusional and he, like, thinks that he has this connection to someone that it's all just, like, a combination of lustful. It's not just lustful, but it's,
right.
like...
No, he truly does love her,
there's
but
a
mo-
Does he truly love her, though?
I think so.
I mean, he's never interacted with her.
That's true.
So...
I guess that's lust then.
It's almost worse than lust, I think, when you like make up someone's character and
yeah.
fall in love
no,
with
right.
it.
Yeah, it's
or
delusion
something.
Or obsession.
It's like
or
just because you're beautiful, you must have a beautiful heart or something.
Yeah.
You're like justifying your lust in a weird way. I don't know.
It's kind of like what you do with garbage, right?
It's kind of what I do every day. So I like sympathize with him because I know what that feels like.
Well, also, I thought it was realistic where. it seems like I know him and his friend Denise, they had a previous relationship or whatever, but it didn't work out for whatever
yeah,
reason.
And why did she keep hanging out with him?
I know.
She deserves better
no,
company.
No, absolutely. He's just, yeah, he's kind God. Of a dick at one point where like yeah. they're at the party and he's like, smell you later. And
right.
He's like, I like the hot chick in the blue skirt more than I like
right.
less than hot chick in black leather jacket. The girl that I've never talked to, who I don't even know if I have a connection with,
yeah.
I will prefer over the girl that I know I have a connection with, but she yeah. like doesn't, you know.
And I will actively treat that woman who's supporting me like crap.
Yeah.
So he's not totally admirable, I don't think.
I guess not. Man, can't hardly wait. It's not as good as I remember it now. Thanks for mansplaining that to me.
Trivia!
Not even. I got another page. And we're back! I don't really recall what we were talking about last. Where are we in plot structure? We haven't really been talking about plot because there really isn't any. It's just like a party.
Yeah.
Denise and Kenny get together. They have a past history. Kenny's redemption. Whatever. They have a bad sexual experience.
Yeah.
I don't care about them, really. I don't really care about the bathroom scene. Because, again, yeah. Kenny's not funny. And Denise just reminds me that I care more about boobs than I care about personality.
I think it's an interesting idea that they grew up together and they kind of forked and she stayed grounded and, like, sane. And he just, like... is a dumbass, but they come from the same place and she yeah. still knows him as that like sniveling little boy.
Some of their exchanges are sweet where they're like reflecting on like playing like Miami Vice in their basement and
right.
stuff. Like that's, I don't know, that's cute enough, but still it's like I'm looking at them and I'm seeing Seth Green
yeah.
in Kenny Fisher's clothing and
right.
hating him, so don't care about him.
You care about Jenna Elfman more than them.
Jenna Elfman.
Let's do it.
Off the record, I'm not attracted to Jenna Elfman.
Okay.
Something about her bone structure. Too many toes or something. I don't know. There's something going on. I don't...
Like in her face?
Too many toes in her face, yeah.
Yeah.
Gross. Can you imagine?
Got a toe face. Classic toe face.
Yeah. A beautiful woman, but then there's just like a pinky toe just sticking out of like her, you know, her cheek right there.
What if there was a beautiful woman and she was...
But what if the toe was also beautiful?
Right. Just in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
If she was like, I'm so attracted to you, like, I want to have sex with you, but like, my fetish is you suck on this toe.
That's on my face.
On my face. Would you do it?
I feel like regardless, if I was going to have sex with Toe Face, I was going to have to incorporate the toe into, like, the foreplay and stuff. So, yeah.
Else would you incorporate it, though, besides mouthing it?
Maybe painting the nail?
Oh.
Mouthing it? Is that what you said?
Kind of romantic. Being romantic with that Toe Face.
Yeah. Maybe, like, cracking it, giving a little bit of a massage. Yeah. A little face toe massage. If a person is prepared to have sex with a person with a toe face, then you're basically like signing up for like, hey, you're gonna have to like, you know, this is part of the freaky deal. Of course.
But what if she just happens to have a toe in her
face? She had a tail. If she had a tail, you would have to incorporate the tail.
You don't have to incorporate it. No. Why? I mean, she doesn't necessarily have a kink about her toe.
I think you have to celebrate it because otherwise, it's just like a weird. It's a weird thing in the back of your mind as you're like making love to Toe Face that, like, oh, there's that toe again. But I gotta ignore it because otherwise, I think you have to like open arms, celebrate.
Yeah.
Differences.
Give me your tire.
Celebrate
give me your
mutants.
Give me your toe faces.
I think I have a fetish for toes now. After that discussion.
Yeah. Do you think that Preston will actually treat her well, or do you think he'll just put her up on a pedestal and it'll get old super fast? Well, I know they do the future thing at the end where they're like,
oh, yeah,
they're
the weird together. Animal House yeah. thing at the where it's like, and they're still together, even though he writes her a letter every day. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You're full of shit. There's this pre-Skype.
I don't think they have
cell phones at this point. They are not. Long distance is not going to work for Preston and Amanda. I'm sorry.
I don't think, though, that even if they were close distance, I don't think that would be a healthy relationship. Because he idolizes her. He
pedestal.
He puts her up on a pedestal.
Pistol, sir.
That's not real love, right? I mean, he's just like admiring and in awe and whatever. And
no, definitely.
She just likes someone thinking that she has substance or something.
No, so when the end of the movie, listeners, spoiler alert, Preston is like, he basically like has resigned himself. He's like, I can't get the girl. Fate is not in my corner or whatever. But then he goes to like the most old timey train station ever. It's like,
so much
steam. Yeah, there's like Irish immigrants at the train station and stuff. It's like really smoky and everything's like in taupe. What's that color scheme? Sepia. Everything's in sepia at this train station, except for Ethan and his loud Hawaiian shirt and fucking cargo pants. And then Amanda, wait, hold on, got off the rails for a second. Coming back. What I was going to talk about. What were we talking about just before?
Pedestal. Will they be happy? Will they have a healthy relationship?
God, fuck me. I don't remember what I was going to say.
You want God to fuck you? It's pretty intense.
I had a really good point to make. Preston, I think I was agreeing with you. Preston does not.
That doesn't sound like you.
Preston. Okay, well, let's talk about the end of the movie. How about?
Yeah, it's fine.
So Preston's at the train station. He's ready to go to Dartmouth. How did I remember that? Can't remember what I was talking about 2 seconds ago, but I remember that he's going to Dartmouth. What a fucking noob. Anyways, he's going to Dartmouth, and he's ready to go. And then Amanda shows up, and then she's like, "I read your letter," and she's wearing this like T-shirt that has like weird little cherub children on it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Which just came from like a Christian bake sale or something. I was like, who are you, Amanda Beckett? What were you doing today?
She's figuring herself out.
So she shows up. She's like, I read the letter.
Did you mean everything you said?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah. And then they have the realistic thing of like, oh, like this could have been something cool.
Yeah.
This is sweet. Like, thank you for writing this letter to me. I'll carry it with me in my heart forever. And then he's ready to go. And because he's like, oh, I have a Kurt Vonnegut seminar to get to. Do you remember that? I read Breakfast of Champions this summer. I got to talk about it in my seminar. I actually kind of like that he has a Vonnegut seminar. That was another reason why I liked him, his character. And
yeah, he's forsaking the heaving chest before him for a creative pursuit.
For knowledge.
Yeah. The true eros.
Truth before... I want to make it rhyme.
I know you do.
Truth before... I want to say truth before titty, but that's not really the same sound. Literature before labia. No, okay, let's do it again. Knowledge before knob being rubbed. Personal betterment before penis betterment.
Personal betterment before penis excrement.
Oh, God. Closer.
Jesus Christ.
So then I kind of like it, even though it's like, it's been done before, but She does the walk away. He's getting ready for his train. He turns as if to, like, I wonder if she's looking at me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's still walking. He turns back. Then she turns around.
Yep.
Sees his back. So then they're both just like, no.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like that. And I think I have a bad habit of doing that all the time. If I'm just on the street, walking past a strange woman.
Yep.
I look back. Strange woman continues to slip her slushy or whatever. She doesn't want anything to do with me. You know?
Continues to be strange.
Not going to get familiar with me. And then, but then Preston, good old Preston,
he has that spark.
I just got it.
What?
He realizes that he is the master of his own destiny. There is no fate.
Right.
He turns around. He's like, fuck this. I'm going to make this happen. Runs, hops over a chair, which I thought was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then grabs her and turns her around. And then, confesses his love to just be like, hey, what does he say? Do you remember does he have a hot line that he says to her or something? My lips are dry.
I think he says, I'll bring home the turkey if you bring home the bacon.
Fuck you. But then they have I thought they had a pretty good kiss. And one of my favorite songs, Yaz, Only You, is playing. Future Steve, cue Yaz, Only You. Oh, man, Future Steve has a lot of work to do on this podcast.
Future Steve says, fuck off.
So that's their closing story. I am going to make you, just for my own amusement, read a Kenny Fisher lyric. Frischner.
Crinny.
Okay, this is Inside the Actor's Studio with Steve Galbraith. He'll be performing as Kenny Fisher, as played by Sean Penn. Sean.
That's not fair.
Yeah, you want to do it as Sean Penn? Whatever,
yeah,
I don't fucking care.
How does Sean Penn sound? He's like, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Is that how he
Nailed
sounds?
It.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Watch out, Sean Penn.
Which one is
the top one. And I'll be Richie Coolboy. I just have one line.
Oh, it's a scene we're doing.
Yeah. Look at me when it's my turn to say something.
Oh, man. This is a long...
Just do it,
I can't keep it up for so long.
Come on. I've done Morgan Freeman 1,000 times.
Yo, I gotta have sex tonight. I mean, peep this.
I can't.
Oh, my God. What? Is this real?
Yeah.
Let me read ahead for a second.
Yeah, that's a 7-Eleven scene.
I really don't like doing this.
I really want you to.
Seems disrespectful.
I really want you to.
They say 92% of honeys at UCLA are sexually active. 92 of the women in Los Angeles at UCLA walking around going, class or sex? What shall I do? 92%, yo! Hey, you know what that means? Your line.
What?
Nailed it. It means I got a 92% chance of embarrassing myself. I roll up on that show to be like, what's up, yo? She'd be like, you don't know 20 different ways to make you call me Big Papa? Because I do.
What? Is Kenny Fisher actually funny? I thought he was horrible. But it's funny when you do.
Too bad that's not going in the podcast.
I wish Sean Penn had been in this movie.
Why?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Should have been. Trivia! Okay.
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not, not a whole lot of Can't Hardly Wait trivia available on the net. You know what is available?
Jennifer Love Hewitt gifts.
Jennifer Love Hewitt and Ethan Embry. Trivia. At the age of 10, Ethan placed 6th in what sports tournament? A, tennis.
This is stupid.
B, gymnastics. C, wrestling. D, cross country.
I really want to say cross country, but I'm going to go with wrestling for some reason.
Wrong. The answer is gymnastics.
Oh, wow.
Fun fact, Ethan Embry can be seen in Can't Hardly Wait doing a flip right after Mike Dexter is called a fag.
Okay, I'll watch out for that next time. Zero for one.
Next question. Ethan writes with his right hand but plays guitar with his left hand. True or false?
What the fuck? First of all, you play guitar using both hands. So your question is false.
You are a musician.
True.
False.
Wow.
Writes with his left and plays with his right.
Oh, geez. You
the
really...
I baited you. The old bait and switch.
Switcheroo.
0 for 2.
The old playing with your left hand.
Question number 3. Ethan is not interested in photography. True or false?
Oh, my God. This is the worst. Wait, Ethan is not...
He is not interested in photography. True or false?
I'm going to say false. Because he is.
He is interested.
Imagine
he has a camera.
Oh.
Yeah, very good. 1 of 3 now. Excellent.
Ethan Embry owns a camera. He purchased one.
Last Ethan question. I love this one. Ethan plays in a punk, speed, hardcore metal band. That's just true.
Okay.
There's more to this question. That's just fucking true. What is the name of said punk, speed, hardcore metal band?
Uh-huh.
A, Southern Comfort Colonic. B, Jack Daniel's Dumperama. C, Seagram's Shitstorm. D, Absolute Anal Anarchy. Or E, Crown Royal Rectum.
First of all, I want to say, did you...
I had to come up with 4 of those.
Did you come up with the E because you wanted to come up with more of them? Because you were enjoying yourself so much?
Come up with a what?
Usually there's A, B, C, D, but there's an E as well because you just couldn't stop yourself.
Yeah, I had some extras.
Yeah, I figured. I'm going to say D.
Correct answer, A, Southern Comfort Colonic.
Oh, man. That one's weak.
All right, so you're 1 for 4 now.
Way to go, Ethan. 1 for 4?
But I think you're going to do well on Jennifer Love Hewitt.
You bet
I am. I believe in you.
I've read up on her quite a bit.
Jennifer has recorded 4 musical albums.
Oh, my God.
I love this. Which one of the following titles is not the name of... I didn't proofread this.
Okay.
All right. Which one of these is not the name of one of her 4 musical albums, okay?
Got it.
A, Love Songs.
No, B, that's... I know that one is one of hers.
B, Let's Go Bang. C, Jennifer Love Hewitt. D, Here We Go Again, Life's Like a Merry-Go-Round. Or E, Bare Naked, bare spelled B-A-R-E, with it's combined as one word with naked, but the N in naked is capitalized.
Jesus Christ. The merry-go-round one is absolutely terrible, so I feel like it could be true. Let's Go Bang?
Let's Go Bang.
That can't be real. I'm going to go with Let's Go Bang.
Wrong.
Oh, I knew it.
It was Here We Go, Go Again. I'm still like a merry-go-round. That's not it. Let's Go Bang. I was mortified by that. That's unbelievable.
She's a little sassy one.
So you're... We'll just keep it easy. You got 1 answer right so far.
Out of the many.
Jennifer has a slight phobia. Which of these is her phobia?
A slight phobia?
Slight phobia.
This is a trivia question?
Yeah, it is.
Jesus.
A.
One time, Jennifer Love Hewitt stubbed her toe.
Agoraphobia.
What piece of furniture did she stub her toe on?
Do you know what agoraphobia is?
Fear of the outside?
Yeah, basically.
World?
B, claustrophobia. C, arachnophobia. D, acrophobia. Or E, trypophobia. You know what that is? Fear of holes.
Oh, God.
Listeners, Steve is a tripophobic.
that's not nice.
Yeah, I snuck that one in.
Well, it's obviously not that. I didn't really
sneak it
in.
I kind of front-loaded it, but whatever.
If it was
obviously not that. If it was that, then you guys are...
meant to be.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
We can just...
get within 30 miles of her on Tinder and you'll find her.
Right. Arachnophobia is everybody. It's got to be arachnophobia.
Claustrophobia. You want to hear the fun fact?
I'm sure she has arachnophobia, too. Slightly, in your words.
While filming an episode of Ghost Whisperer, in an underground tunnel set, a removable wall had to be installed so she could get out quickly because of her slight claustrophobia. All right, you got one so far. Both our phones are busting up. Busting up?
They're laughing?
Yeah, I guess. Like, All right, two more questions. Jennifer has told several magazines that she wears what when she takes a bath? Ooh. A, tiara. B, headband. C, Groucho Marx novelty glasses. D, a smile. Or E, knee-high socks.
Ooh. What? Knee-high socks, at first you think, oh, sexy.
Yeah.
But then you realize if you're in the bath, that's wet socks.
They're going to get wet. She's going to get out of the bath. She's going to, like, leave a trail of wet footprints.
No, fuck that.
Come on.
I don't care how good looking you are.
Yeah, I only got one floor mat. Come on.
A smile, that would be a stupid thing to tell a magazine. Hey, by the way, I smile when I bathe. P.S. Stupid. Tiara, that seems kind of like her. I'll say a tiara.
Ding, ding, ding!
Hey!
Man, you actually did a good job.
I used my powers of deduction.
Two for a million. Yep. You just, great.
Love you, Jennifer.
Last question. Oh, this is good. Last question. Jennifer was ranked at what position on Maxim's Hot 100 in 2014? This is 16 years after Can't Hardly Wait, and right. She's still in the Hot 100.
Ugh.
A, was she number 20? B, number 69? C, number 42? D,
don't ridiculous. You mean 420?
What?
What?
Out of 100. C, 40, C, 42. D, 99. Or E, 35. I'll give you the numbers again. 20, 69, 42, 99, 35.
Did you pick 42 because of the Douglas Adams reference?
I think I had 42 on the mind because of that baseball movie that came out recently about Jackie Robinson.
Oh. Okay. What was the 30 one? 35? 35 sounds right.
Ding, ding, ding!
Hey.
You're doing so good on Jennifer Love Hewitt. Okay, fun fact. She was ranked 35 in 2010, 20 in 2012, and 6 in 2013. I didn't have the results for 2011.
Okay.
Too hot.
Too hot.
The top hot 100 were too hot that year.
Right.
Burned in a fire.
Can't look at them.
Yeah. The Maxim
brain
factory
damage.
Just burned up. You got three of a number.
Yeah.
How do you feel about yourself?
I feel great.
All right. So,
feel informed. Final thoughts?
Takeaways of Can't Hardly Wait. Final thoughts.
I asked you first.
You know, I had said that Girlfriend Number Two is hotter than Jennifer Love Hewitt, but Girlfriend Number Two was not on Maxim's top 100. So I'm going to say Jennifer Love Hewitt much hotter than Girlfriend Number Two.
Eric, final thoughts on Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't Hardly Wait served a purpose for me at one point in my life. Not for jerking off like you're motioning, you pervert, but for making me feel okay about being in love with a woman who is out of my league at that point in my life.
Yeah.
And now I would personally not recommend it to anybody. Because, again, I said it started off pretty solid, like it was, like, pretty good writing and stuff, but at some point it just, I don't know, it went too long. the movie should have been, like, I think it ended up being an hour and 40 something or whatever, but it should have been, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah, less party scenes. I mean, like, we get that they're at a party.
Yeah.
You don't have to do, like, 1,000 establishing shots.
And again,
shots
nobody, of... yeah, I'm not really caring too much about all the B stories. Like, none of them were right. super compelling.
Yeah.
I like
did
the
you like the nerd story?
I like the nerd story. Yeah. But, oh, that's what I didn't like, is that the... So, Mega Nerd Boy, I like his story. That's good. And then... But his plus two nerd boy friends who are just like sitting on the roof like
filler.
on
yeah.
And the movie ends with them. I'm like, who cares about these guys? They didn't have any part in like plot development. It ends with them getting zapped up into a UFO to like, you know,
oh yeah,
that was... to manifest their X-Files dreams.
That was a terrible.
That was
ending.
A real bad ending. Yeah,
one of the worst.
Boo. Wait, am I done with my final thoughts? My takeaway, go for the girl who's out of your league. Do not go for the girl who you have a clear connection with who might actually make you happy. That's my takeaway.
Yeah.
And what about you? Final thoughts?
I'm split because on the one hand, I like the idea of hope and not giving up and believing in something crazy and romantic and whatever. But on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, you have something good right in front of you. And just because it's not in like a attractive enough package for you, like, mm-hmm. I just think that's kind of lame to especially mistreat that person. Anyway,
yeah,
what's
the deal, Preston?
It's not really about that though. Yeah. Final thoughts all around. Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. Maybe when I'm 50 and I want super nostalgia. You ever think about how...
Super nostalgia.
You ever think about how you you watch something today being 31?
I'm 30.
Talking to myself.
Wait, you're...
I'm 31.
Oh, okay.
You watch something today and you like have, 20 years of... life in your head
mm-hmm.
that you can be nostalgic about.
Yes.
You ever think about how it's going to be like when you're 50? Like it'll be more powerful, almost unbearable, just because you have a longer period of time. Does
yeah.
it like get more powerful as you get farther away from it?
Whoa.
You ever think about that?
No, I haven't thought about that, but that is like a singularity of nostalgia. Like it'll just, the gravitational pull will get so immense that my skin will be peeled off of my skull.
Yeah. Your skin will be terrible
screaming.
Anyway. When you're that age. So.
Bye, everybody.